Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, we go to the land of Israel and explore the connection between America and the Holy Land. Did you know this program, Watchmen on the Wall, is available as an app? Take Watchmen on the Wall with you by downloading our free mobile app. Visit your app store and type the letters SWRC in the search bar. The SWRC mobile app has hundreds of archive programs as well as the latest program available to you. The SWRC mobile app. Download it today. And don't miss out on any of the important topics and information that is shared on Watchmen on the Wall. And make sure you subscribe to our free e-newsletter, A Moment of Prophecy. The latest insight and analysis from our speakers and access to our latest resources. Sign up today for the free e-newsletter, swrc.com, or just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. Time to go to the Holy Land, where archaeologist Clayton Van Hus and author Gary Byers discuss America and its connection with Israel.
We're so glad you tuned in to the Watchmen on the Wall program today. I'm your host, Clayton Van Hus. I am the director of a firm, the Apologetics Branch of Southwest Radio Ministries. And I am in Israel today in the city of Jerusalem with my good friend, dear friend, Dr. Gary Byers. Gary, welcome to the program.
Great to be here with you, my friend.
It is great to be here. It's great to be here in the land. It's great to be here on the program talking to fellow believers. I want to introduce Gary. So Dr. Byers, he is the co-director of the Associates for Biblical Research excavations here at Ancient Shiloh. That's what we've been doing this summer, is digging, haven't we?
We certainly have moved a lot of dirt and found a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, we have. So what does it mean to be the co-director of an archaeological dig?
Well, of course, it depends on the director. This is my, my fifth dig working in the Holy Land. Dug at Ekron, at ABR's excavation at Nisia, Kirbet Omakater, and here at Shiloh. And then I also have dug for 16 seasons in Jordan at Tal el-Hammam. And I've served in a leadership role in all of those, been very, very blessed and fortunate. So with Scott, the co-director is, you know, I get coffee for him. He's the boss. And my job and my skill set is to facilitate the process. Knowing what he wants done, I worked really hard at working with the team to get it done. I'm a people guy. I'm a pastor at heart. And so I'm forever taking care of the troops while he's leading the charge.
Yeah.
And it works pretty well.
No, it's true. We'll be working in our squares, and Gary will come by with two trowels, not just one trowel, but two. He will show us how to dig and how to clean up our squares, and he's very hands-on. But another special thing about Gary Byers is he's a dear friend of mine. We've only known each other a couple of years now. We've dug together three seasons at Shiloh. But Dr. Byers did a very special thing this summer. He officiated at my wedding at Tel Shiloh. We actually had the wedding on the site. How was that for you? Have you ever done a wedding at an archaeological dig?
I have been at some different venues, including on the beach in the Atlantic Ocean. But this was special. This was very unique, but it was so special because I did this, the international broadcast of your wedding, you know, it's a pretty cool deal. And I did screw up. I was so sure I knew how long I'd known Abigail. It wasn't as long as I thought, wasn't far back. Thus, I made her much older than she is. And everybody was laughing. And I didn't know what I'd done or said till afterwards. And they schooled me on it. But knowing Abigail and then getting to meet you a few years ago and then seeing the two of you connect up, it's just been very special for my wife, Gail, and me. And it was just an honor. Yeah. For me to be invited to officiate at your wedding here at Shiloh is a wonderful experience.
Well, you and Gail certainly set marriage goals for us. We watched this couple. This is a couple who loves the Lord. Of course, Gary being the co-director and Gail working so hard at this archaeological dig. And I understand that she was pulled into archaeology kind of kicking and screaming. But we have watched her as our medical person, our nurse. who has just taken care of, because people get hurt, they get sick, all sorts of things on digs. And then to work with pottery.
Yeah, she's a pottery registrar.
Yeah, she does such a good job.
She really does. As a nurse, details on the computer matter.
Yeah.
And she's just a natural at it. Her husband couldn't do any of that, but she does really well.
Well, that's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about your background and your connection with Israel. You've been here a couple of times.
Yes, I became a believer in my first year of college in 1970, the fall of 1970, and by the fall of 1971, I had become a believer. I was interested in, really got into the Bible. An associate pastor at my church gave me a love for Israel. In that intervening 8 months before the fall semester, I was at a rally held by Dr. Jerry Falwell and the Old Time Gospel Hour back in 1971. And he said, we're starting a new school in Lynchburg and the first 100 students get to go to the Holy Land free. So that just, associate pastor of my church just put this in my soul. And I went to a prayer meeting at another church on a Wednesday night. Somebody was praying and talking about Jerry Falwell and his ministry and that school. And right then and there, and when it came my turn to pray, I said, thank you, Lord, because you've just shown me I'm going to go to that school, Lynchburg Baptist College in those days now, Liberty University. And so I got my first trip then. I sang in what was called the LBC Chorale. Clayton, you've heard me sing. I don't really sing that well, but I always thought I attributed my ability to get into that 17-person group with my good looks and my quick wit. Which aren't either right either. But anyway, God gave me that chance. I traveled with Falwell to Israel once or twice. I led probably half a dozen tours as a pastor. And then with the Associates for Biblical Research, I've been here leading tours and leading digs, Israel, Jordan, Egypt. I've probably been over here to this part of the world between 50 and 60 times. I tried to count, but I just lost track. And I just can't tell you what a privilege it is. I don't ever want to take it for granted. I don't believe I do. I certainly try not to. What a special opportunity for a person of faith to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Gary, when I actually met you in person for the first time, it was the week before the excavation, my first dig. You were leading all of the archaeology volunteers on a tour. And you took us all over the place and showed us things. Maybe I'd seen the sites, but you gave us insights into the history and the culture of the site. It was something.
Love that stuff.
Yeah. So let's talk about the land. Let's talk about being here. And let's talk about America and how we can support Israel, how we can pray. Because you have a lot of friends here. I've seen this. You've known people here for years. You have friends who are Jews, you have friends who are Muslims, you have friends who are Christians, whether they're Israeli or Palestinian. You've always, I've watched you go out of your way to treat people well. Who are the people in this land?
I'm just so glad you want to talk about this a little bit because I think it's just so important. I have, and you do too here, we stay in a Palestinian, Christian Palestinian owned hotel chain here in East Jerusalem. The same team runs the bus company that we take the bus to our dig site every morning, every afternoon. The bus drivers, the folks at the hotel, all Palestinians, probably most Muslim, but we don't really get into that very much. Mm-hmm. They have become friends, and honestly, and you know it, we feel like family. Year after year, the same people at the hotels, same people driving our buses. We become close. We become good friends. And they have certainly suffered. They're not in Gaza. They're not blowing anything up, but they have suffered because of the events here. Then we go to the dig site, which is on an Israeli community. The word settlement has a political connotation, and I'm not really comfortable with that political connotation. We use the word settlement for Israeli communities in the West Bank, or as the Jews say, Judea Samaria. And so you're a settlement, you're Israeli, you're a village, you're Palestinian. They're loaded words.
Yeah.
These Palestinian villages mm-hmm. are tens of thousands of people and dozens of eight-story and higher high-rise buildings. They're not little villages we would assume that is what the term that they're using. I just don't like the loaded terms. And so it's an Israeli community where we dig, and we have Israeli colleagues there, archaeologists. Our Palestinian friends that we know here around Jerusalem have suffered economically. Most of them have not worked. When we showed up at this hotel, most of them had not worked for 8 months. Those that live in the Israeli, there's Israeli citizens, they were able to receive some compensation from the government for their lack of work. But those who aren't receive nothing.
Yeah.
On the Palestinian side, they receive nothing. From Israel, which I understand, but not even from the PA, they don't receive anything. So they have suffered significantly. But our Israeli colleagues have suffered. Almost every one of them had to go serve in the military over the last 8 months. Every one of them knows somebody who's died.
Yeah.
And in many cases, family. And of course, that hits even harder than the economics. So it's just painful. And to the credit of all, they don't get bitter and hateful. The Israeli staff here at the hotel and on the buses, they don't mix it up. They're just happy that we're here, grateful.
Yes.
And love American people who come over here and do what we did. Our Israeli friends, likewise. It's an amazing thing. And as one Christian to another talking to a pretty much a Christian audience, I will say, this is so confusing and so convoluted.
Yes.
The only thing that is going to make a difference in this land is Jesus in the heart of a person, one individual at a time.
That's right.
Governments, nothing is going to fix this except Jesus in hearts. And I am happy to report we are seeing it. We are hearing it everywhere in this country. It is unbelievable how quietly, one heart at a time, Jesus is changing people. That is so exciting. That's so important. And that's the only answer to the problem in Israel and Palestine today.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to change the situation here. So when we look at these people, and you know, we're not talking about those who would harm others. We're talking about the citizens, both Israeli and Palestinian, who are living their daily lives, and all they want is to work. It's sad to walk the streets and see so many businesses shuttered up, businesses that I'm used to seeing open, and they're shuttered, and these people are making no money. We had a gentleman here on the hotel staff who has not worked. We talked to him for since the war started, and he was happy to be here with us. And again, he's one of those that's like family. As American Christians, how should we handle? Because prayer is real. And here at Southwest Radio Ministries, we have a saying that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things.
Yeah.
How does the American Christian pray for the land of Israel, for the people, both Israeli and Palestinian, for the Jew, the Christian, the Muslim? They all need prayer.
Yeah.
They all need Jesus. Yeah. How do we do that?
Prayer does change things, and prayer is so powerful, and we need to pray regularly. But I think the number one is it's a soapbox maybe for me, but I can't help it. The number one thing that we pray for is for the people of this land to know Jesus and walk with Jesus. And that is the number one thing. It's the only thing going to make a difference, any permanent difference. And of course, that's an eternal difference, so it's huge. So that's the first thing. Pray for the spiritual well-being in Jesus Christ for every person in this country, Jew, Christian, Muslim, whatever. And then, I hate to say it, but government initiatives are not the answer.
No.
I don't get excited about those. Because even when they pull it off, the corruption in the process and on this end is terrible. And so it's really about spiritual warfare, people coming to Jesus. And for me, I would even say to people, pray about what ministries that you know and believe in that are doing something over here, and add some feet to your prayers by giving and supporting such work. I actually support, my wife and I support one of my students who's here and his ministry to the Jewish people. and we support one of my colleagues, our colleagues here digging here, and their work with the Palestinian people. That really makes my prayers real, because I've invested in what I know to be great work for the kingdom, in Jesus' name, to both sides of the issue, to all people that God loves, that we love, and that Jesus died for.
So let me ask you a question then. So we've talked about how to pray for Israel. We've talked about how to pray for the Palestinians. How do we pray for America? Because we are, whether we like it or not, America is looked at as a leader in the world, a beacon of light, a beacon of hope. But you know, I know, our listeners know, we are full of holes right now. We are beat up. And how are we going to lead the world? How do we pray for America?
I see America just like you've described. So I'm 72. It's not the America I grew up in. Of course, I remember hearing my dad say that. You know, so I understand, you know, and once we're moving forward. But once we have taken God out of our perspective for life, then it doesn't matter anymore. Anything goes. There's no sense of anything that really matters. There's no absolutes. And we've got to get back to that kind of thing, in my opinion. And the absolutes are simply that there is a God, that He does love us. He has a plan for our lives, our families, and I think even our nation. And so we need to pray about that kind of stuff. And we need to support the people, the ministries that are doing something that way, including our local churches. But we need to do that. And we need to pray. We need to energize those prayers with action and financial support. And of course, prayer support for those industries, institutions that we believe are doing good work. We are in grave danger, in my opinion, in America. We're going down the toilet fast.
Sure.
But our God is still, as you said, in control. He's He's using all of this stupid stuff that we're creating and building. He's using it to bring people to the kingdom across the world, in this country of Israel, but certainly in America.
Yeah, and you know, here's an interesting thing. There are parallels. Israel, of course, is a special nation. God made a covenant with Israel. As Americans, you know, we find ourselves in a different situation. However, you and I, when we dig in the ground, we are digging in places where we can look at the parallel. We can look at the Bible, what the Bible says about those sites, and what do we see constantly? We see people falling away from God. We see people following other gods. We see people completely disobeying and doing their own thing. And that's what's happening in America today. These parallels are just fascinating to me. But the same God who was there in the time of the Old Testament is the same God who is in all the world today. Can you speak a little on that?
Yeah, absolutely right. It is the same God. And what He did was He loved them, but He worked them over when they got off track. And so He's doing the same in this country. This war is bringing people on both sides to faith. And He's doing the same in America. Collapse of morality. And it's everything that was moral is now political.
Yes.
And we're seeing so much confusion in hearts and minds. Jesus is using this to bring us to an end of our own best thinking and to turn to Him. We just need to buck up on our own selves as Christians. And then we need to pray for others to be able to find that same answer. And you and I aren't in despair for this world.
No,
we have great hope, but we're honest about what's there, and we believe we understand exactly what the best thing can do to fix this.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see in the Bible, in these times, we see a remnant. There's always a remnant.
Yes.
God keeps people who are faithful, even if they don't realize there are others. We think of Elijah. That remnant is always used by God to light the fires of revival, to light the fire of awakening. How should we look at that as believers? What's our part?
I just need to every day show up to be the man that God's called me to be to the best of my ability. And that's going to be imperfect. So I know that from the jump, but I'm in. I'm all in to the best of my ability. I'm going to work at it every day and simply try to add value in Jesus' name to the hearts and the lives of the ones that He brings into my life that day.
That is something. Well, Dr. Byers, my friend, Gary, I thank you so much for being with us today. I think that our listeners can very well benefit from you. If we want to know more about you, where can we find you or ABR? How do we find out more about you?
Yes, certainly the Associates for Biblical Research, BibleArchaeology.org. And I've served in there with them as an archaeologist staff member and as a member of the board of directors and as president of the board for a number of years. And then I'm the dean of the College of Archaeology, Trinity Southwest University, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and a professor at also in our sister school, Veritas International University, now also in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Love to talk to you. Love to see you. Come on and visit. Together, let's do our part. We're not going to change the world. Jesus is, and we just want to do our part in the process.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much, Gary. We appreciate you, and thank you for tuning in today to Watchmen on the Wall. We are so glad to have you, and yes, God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Today, we are featuring an olive wood cross gift set with a handmade Maranatha oil wood anointing oil keychain. These beautiful items are made in Israel, and on the cross is engraved, God Bless America. This gift set can be yours for a gift today of $20 or more when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order the Olive Wood Comfort Cross Set on our website, swrc.com. Authentic olive wood cross with anointing oil keychain, made in Israel, and it's yours for a gift of $20 or more today. Order this Holy Land treasure when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino, comes now for an important moment of prophecy.
The Lord Jesus is coming again. He came the first time as a little baby to live on this earth. But he is coming again as the Lord Jesus Christ to take his people away from this earth. In John 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Did Jesus go to heaven? Well, he sure did. He went to heaven, and he is going to come from heaven. What will conditions be on earth when Jesus returns? Well, Matthew 24:37 tells us it will be just like the days of Noah. I quote verse 37. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." In this moment of prophecy, we want to think of the return of Jesus and the days of Noah. The Bible never tells us the exact date when Jesus will return, but it does tell us something about the conditions on earth when he comes again. Today, people are trying to change God's created order. In fact, the words "trying to change God's created order" are too mild. What is really happening is that people are rebelling against God's created order. Gravity is a part of God's created order, just like two genders, male and female, is God's created order. If you think you can rebel against God's created order, go and jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. We have a blessed hope, not a blasted hope. There are two kinds of hope. One kind of hope is a hope-so hope. I hope my supervisor will recognize my years of hard work and give me that promotion that we were speaking about. Or, I hope that the economy improves. That's a hope-so hope. There's no guarantee that the economy will ever improve. Or, I hope that there will be peace in the world. Not much chance of that. The nations of the world are gearing up for some kind of a huge war that will be far worse than any other. But the blessed hope is a no-so hope, a special hope, a guaranteed hope. Why is the blessed hope a no-so kind of hope? Because God guarantees it. We are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God would never deceive us. He would never tell us to look for something that he does not plan to bring about. When Jesus comes back for us, that is our blessed hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 is one of the very important rapture passages in the Bible. Everyone who believes the Bible will believe what this passage says. It says that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for his people, whether they have already died or are still alive. Christians who have already died will rise first, and then Christians who are alive at that time will be caught up into the sky. We will meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever and ever. You know, for the last 20 centuries, pastors have been reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 at memorial services. Verse 18 says that we are to comfort one another with these words. It is very sad that some Christians miss the plain, simple, straightforward meaning of this wonderful text. We unfortunately get into big arguments about the scheduling of the rapture in relationship to other prophetic events. But if you believe the Bible, you will believe these words. I want to say it again. If you believe the Bible, if you're born again, you will believe these words concerning the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10 says that we are to wait for, quote, his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come, close quotes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9 is similar, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Christians are to be involved in a rescue operation. Flee the wrath to come, we are to warn people. The love of God is a wonderful teaching of the Bible. That love was demonstrated on Calvary's cross. But friends, God has a multifaceted personality. God is love, but God has never canceled the attribute of divine justice.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. July is an extremely critical month for Southwest Radio Ministries, and friends, we need your help. Historically, summertime giving is always slow, but this year, with the upcoming election and the economy, giving is at a critical level. Unfortunately, we're having to further cut, including reducing the number of radio stations we're on and laying off staff. In other words, we need your help, and we need it today. Please be praying for Southwest Radio Ministries. Ask the Lord to provide the needed funds so that we can continue to proclaim the good news. And as you're led, would you please consider giving a gift to our summer relief effort? Your one-time and monthly gifts are needed this month. You can give by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Thank you for your continued support and prayers. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.